This morning's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 10, and it's beginning at verse 1. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heavens opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill, and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house, so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius goes on to explain his vision, and Peter begins a mini sermon on the mission of Jesus. And that continues at verse 39. "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, yet by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." And so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Acts is one of those Bible books where many miraculous things happen, where barriers are broken down, and God moves his plans forward, irrespective of the backdrop of political things and also of the religious things which are going on. And we have two very different men living 32 miles apart. One a Gentile, Cornelius. You met him earlier on with a Scottish accent. And one who lives in Caesarea, and the other in Joppa. Cornelius, the Roman centurion, who was God-fearing, the Bible tells us. A man, no doubt, who loved God, he did love God, and followed Jewish practices, but had not converted to Judaism. What the Bible also tells us that Cornelius gave generously to the poor and prayed to God regularly. The other man, Peter the Apostle, who we know more about. We know him for his impulsiveness when he was a disciple of Jesus. And also we remember that he denied Jesus three times before the crucifixion. But this is a very different Peter, a much more spiritually mature Peter, who God is using in powerful ways. Indeed, the chapter before, we find that Peter actually, by the power of God, raises a lady from the dead. And one day in the afternoon, Cornelius is visited by an angel. He sees a vision in which an angel speaks to him. And the angel's message is, "Send men to the city of Joppa and bring back Peter the Apostle." There is a point of interest here. And you get this very often in the Bible, where there's only, say, a couple of lines, but it does give us an indication of our relationship with God. Because the angel tells Cornelius that his gifts to the poor and his prayers have been noted and heard in heaven. That's great, isn't it? Just a couple of lines, but it gives us an insight. It's surely an encouragement for us when we pray. Sometimes, I'm sure all of us have had this, we think, is God actually hearing my prayers? Will God actually answer my prayers? As soon as the angel departs, Cornelius sends two of his servants and a Roman soldier to bring Peter from Joppa. And the following day, the trio arrive there at the seaside town of Joppa. And Peter had gone up to the rooftop to pray. He too has an encounter with God. And as you, I'm sure, following the reading, that he falls into a trance and he has a vision of a great white sheet being let down from heaven, and it's held on the four corners. And inside the sheet are all kinds of different animals, reptiles and birds. And then God speaks to Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter is rather shocked by this. You can tell by his reply, "Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Now, to understand Peter's response here, in the Old Testament, God has said there were certain animals that the Jews could not eat, because they were unclean. The Jews were forbidden to eat them. And Peter, following this pattern and this way, this would be abhorrent for him to eat some of these animals. It was obvious from Peter's reaction that some of these animals in the sheet were forbidden for Jews to eat. So Peter says, "Surely not, Lord." But God speaks again to Peter, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." That's pretty straightforward and understandable, that, isn't it? The message is given to Peter three times, and then the sheet is taken away back to heaven. Peter does not understand the message here from God. And while Peter is still thinking about this event, the three men turn up at the house where he is staying. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter. "These men are looking for you. Go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them. I have sent them." And Peter meets the three men, and they explain that an angel instructed Cornelius to send to Peter to come to his house so that he could hear what Peter has to say. And in verse 23, we read something amazing. Peter invites the three men into his house as his guests. He is a Jew. It's forbidden for him to associate with Gentiles. As good as Cornelius is, and a man who fears God, Peter's not supposed to associate with him. But he's got his instructions. Why is it amazing? Because the Jews do not associate with the Gentiles. There was hostility between them. The Jews regarded themselves as God's favorite people, and therefore they regarded themselves as being superior to anybody else. And as I said when we were speaking earlier on, that also the Jews regarded Gentiles as no better than dogs. But you will remember that the Holy Spirit has told Peter to go with these men. And the next day, the servants of Cornelius, plus Peter and his friends, set out for Caesarea. Peter and the group, they arrive at the house of Cornelius, who has invited relatives and friends to come and hear Peter. When inside the house, Peter speaks to all who are gathered there. And he says, "You know it is against the Jewish law for me to be here in a Gentile's home and speaking to you But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." Then Cornelius speaks to Peter. And he says, "4 days ago, an angel spoke to me and said, 'I must send for you.' And now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us." What a big positive step forward this is. This is a Gentile home with Jews and Gentiles meeting together. And Cornelius has also invited others as well. God spoke to the two men, the two very different men, and they obeyed the message. And they made themselves available to God. And it was a great outcome. But there is more exciting things to come. Peter begins to speak and says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who love him and do what is right." He goes on to say that God sent to the people of Israel the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Peter explains that God anointed Jesus, who went about healing, because he'd been anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. You know, and I know, that Jesus went about healing and doing good. And Peter says that we, his disciples, were witnesses to all that he did. He died on the cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to explain that the prophets testify about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And then in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. What an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit came upon that household of Jews and Gentiles. In fact, some Bible expositors call this the Gentile Pentecost. And the Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished, the Bible says. They couldn't believe it. Look what God has done. They couldn't believe it, that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on these Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter says, they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? Not only is this event a great demonstration of God's power, but it's also a demonstration of God's grace. We see also God moving his church program forward as he brings Jewish and Gentile believers together into one church, not a divided church. Jesus died for the whole world, as we know, not just for the Jewish nation. So we are blessed indeed, aren't we? We are Gentiles. And yet we are blessed indeed, for God brought us in. Paul in Romans talks about us being grafted into that spiritual tree of Israel, if you like. We are blessed indeed, for we, who Paul speaks about in Ephesians, who were aliens at one time to God, who were outside, we were not citizens of Israel. But now we have been blessed with salvation, and we belong to God as well. We know something of God's grace. We know something of God's power in our lives. We sing the hymn, God is working his purposes out. And so he is. But we are his hands and feet. And therefore, as his disciples, we are to be obedient, just as Cornelius and Peter was. We are to be available, just as Cornelius and Peter was. And we are to be willing to serve God, just as Cornelius and Peter was. Obedient, available, and willing for God's purposes. For we are the disciples of Jesus. And we've sung this morning, and we've read it in the Bible. Why is that important? Because Jesus is Lord.